Mr. Eusebio, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and what mental health means to you?
All right, sure. So again, my name is Nathan Eusebio. I am currently teaching at Jarvis Collegiate, a school that has a lot of students from Regent Park and the area. It's my fourth year at Jarvis, but my eighth year of teaching overall. I've taught in the UK as well for the first couple of years of my teaching career and then moved on into the TDSB.
According to the Center of Addiction and Mental Health, 34% of Ontario high school students indicate a moderate to serious level of psychological distress. This can be symptoms of anxiety and depression. 14% indicate a serious level of physiological distress. Why do you think high school students are prone to having a mental health disorder? Is it the high school system itself causing anxiety and depression among students, or is there more to this?
Yeah, so that is a great question, and again, a very difficult one to unpack right from the get-go. This is the first time I've seen this statistic, and it is pretty surprising actually to me. I think mental health has impacted a lot of students, or at least, you know, it's definitely something we need to be talking about more. And my first thought reading the statistic was that was this prior to all these lockdowns that we've been having and the pandemic. This statistic is from before, and it certainly hasn't helped being in the situation we are now and the way schools have decided to set themselves up, and that is not helping currently for student mental health and well-being. So definitely, for sure, like I said, I'm not really an expert, and we can't really, it's not something that I think we can pin down to just one cause. There are many causes for sure and many pieces of the puzzle here to unpack. I will say, you know, from my perspective as a teacher, we can definitely talk about a lot of how I feel students are definitely under a lot of academic pressure. For sure, that is a huge one that it definitely relates to me and my job as a teacher. As I taught, as I mentioned before, I do teach math and computer science, two very sort of subjects where students have a lot of pressure to do well and want to get a good mark in. On the flip side of it, you know, ultimately, I do want students to learn, and part of learning is in taking risks. And there's not a lot of opportunities to take risks if you feel that there's a huge amount of pressure to do well, maybe on your first, second try. So that is a difficult, you know, that's a difficult thing for sure. Another thing I wanted to point out, there's a lot going on, I think, especially I think if a student, you know, there are so many things to talk about in regards to, you know, what troubles students, what are some causes of anxiety and depression, I guess, tangentially to how, you know, students experiencing the world through a screen, and everybody, you know, is experiencing the world through a screen now. A poor substitute for community, you end up, you know, going on your feed, and whatever people see on their feeds these days might not necessarily lend to helping mental health, right? Like, maybe you turn on the news, maybe, you know, we see a lot of what is going on in the world in a negative way, and especially with adolescents who are looking at potentially what their future could be, it all looks very uncertain, to say the least. So I really feel for the current generation as to where they're, you know, where they're currently at. There's also a big push to sort of like, I could give you the standard answers, which, you know, I do try to encourage students this as well. You know, you can talk about definitely try your best to have a good diet, you know, sleep well, get some good exercise in. For sure, definitely, if you can. With mental health being such a complicated topic as it is, me just telling students this who are not, you know, in a good place to even have that and might not have been in a good position community wise or peer wise as it is, that's difficult. There's a whole sort of like balance or push and pull we have to think about now, whether, you know, is it a personal responsibility on the students to try and improve their own mental health, or is there a responsibility in the system to try and manage, right, where students are at. Sobering to think about is, you know, a lot of pressure students are feeling now academically, a lot of pressure that, you know, people my age and older feel in the workplace now, and stress. And stress is a huge one that I feel we don't acknowledge enough for students. For sure, stressful situations, especially in this modern society, it's not going to go away. Stressful situations are definitely unavoidable. But, you know, who is ultimately responsible for managing one's stress? For sure, you know, students in high school and, you know, the students I work with, I do, you know, try my best to, you know, say these things like, make sure you're getting your 8 hours of sleep, make sure you're managing your time. And especially in light of the pandemic, it's a little bit harder to do that. But at the same time, I feel like there is a lot of, there could be more responsibility on the system, really, to try and help students manage their stress. I don't really blame students these days for burning out, right? Like, a lot of people working right now have been burning out as well. So, so there really are not a lot of easy answers. Hopefully I said some good things there. Hopefully I said, yeah.
About pressure, yeah. Since like St. Jamestown and the region is like mostly immigrants, students have a lot of pressure. They're coming from a different place. They have reasons to move from their place to Canada, and they put immense pressure on students. We were telling the story about this guy from this village like a while ago that came to like UFT. He was immense pressure. How do you deal with this pressure?
I can sort of relate as well, because me and my family did immigrate to Canada. I was in grade 10. Amongst families that moved to Canada, and you sort of hear the narrative that we're coming for a better life and education for the kids and good health care and all this. And it's said there's a lot of pressure. How much of it can students really manage? You know, a lot of high schoolers, you're positioned to sort of start thinking about what you want to do, or where your goals are at such a young age, and where you're at for post-secondary, and where this. And sometimes you have goals that don't necessarily align with, like, you might be hearing from home, or sometimes you might not even really consider where your goals are yet. And you might be rushed into picking something. So it's very difficult. And a lot of it is very situational.
How can students improve their mental health?
The answer that comes to my head is a very sort of traditional answer, to sort of like, it almost feels, you know, unsatisfying to say, you know, you just sort of have to learn to manage your time, and you have to like improve your time management and do your personal development and all of this, and make sure you know, diet, exercise, sleep. There is a reason why people bring this up, because it is useful. It is, you know, it goes a long way towards improving someone's mental health personally. Later on, it looks like some of the questions will come up regarding like seeking professional help. And for sure, absolutely, like the kind of advice that, you know, the kind of advice that involves, you know, time management, sleep, diet, exercise might not apply to everybody. And this is where we start talking into things like, make sure you seek out help from somebody, like in person, you know, build a relationship with somebody.
There are a lot of mental health programs for students that Ontario and other school boards provide, like Telehealth Ontario and Kids Health Phone for students. Do students use mental health services/resources that are available to them, or avoid them? Ensure to their parents that they are doing fine.
I think like we have come a long way into talking about mental health, for sure. But there are still some, you know, some people in some communities where, and even within Canada, right? Like, mental health is still, it's not as stigmatized as it used to be, but we still have to put ourselves out there and continue to keep fighting against the stigma. Growing up, for sure, as in my youth and going to high school and university, I have had moments of, you know, anxiety and depression myself. And even in those moments, it's very difficult to sort of take the plunge and say, I think this is it. I have to reach out. And, you know, I feel for a lot of students in a very similar position right now who don't realize, you know, who don't realize it's probably in your best interest to reach out. but it's scary. It's also very intimidating to a lot of, you know, a lot of people who have never done it before. And going in for the first time, you might think, like, you see the ad and you're like, oh, that's not really for me. That's for, you know, so such and such. And the other thing I might have considered is you sort of like dial a number and talk to a, you know, complete stranger, which for some people might be more appealing to talk to, because like you said, it might be a sort of outlet, because they might these students have an opportunity to share things that they might not otherwise share to friends and family. So that's there as well. Says yeah, so I'm not entirely sure, right? Ultimately, what I want to ensure, especially as an educator, and I would also hope that, you know, this is the trend towards more teachers as well and more caring adults in a school building, creating safe environments for students to make sure that students have someone to reach out to. These services are absolutely important and can be quite useful as well.
Like, one of the reasons I refuse to get a mental health help is because mm-hmm. I want to conquer something myself. I'm dealing with like social anxiety. Like,
yeah,
I want to deal it with myself. Like, because after I beat it, it's like my achievement. Do you feel like
that's true?
Yeah. Do you feel like if people are like refusing help, because I'm refusing help?
That is absolutely true. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was exactly the same position I was in. Maybe not. Well, I dealt with my social anxiety differently, but the incidents I was telling you about, like, I was feeling a lot of stress and a lot of pressure academically, and that's, you know, that's where I was. It's like, oh, I can beat this myself. I can sort of like, you know, get my good marks in and study and like balance all my work and school, and, you know, I'll do it and I can figure it out all for myself. It goes back to like, it's different, you know, like clearly you have your story and I have mine and people have their different cases. And for sure, it varies from person to person. It's very difficult. And at the very least, I'm glad, you know, that you and I have the chance to sort of talk about this, because for a lot of people listening in, you know, we're not, this is not going to be the final word on mental health and wellness, but at the very least, you know, it's a starting point, or maybe if you've already been thinking about it, it's a short station, because it's a journey for everybody. So, you know, hopefully to anyone listening, this is a good, you know, little stop on everyone's own personal journeys, thinking about these kinds of things, because it, you know, a lot of it is ongoing, dealing with your own mental health and wellness. It's an ongoing journey, and being able to have a community around you or people or someone to talk to is very helpful. And, you know, relationships are a journey as well when you continue to build them on with the people in your life.
In this new generation, social media is a big thing. Do you think it has a bigger impact on mental health for youth than adults?
So that's a really good question, Jabin. And I certainly believe so. I'm just thinking back as to when I was a youth growing up, and, you know, social media was around the corner. I would say we had, you know, websites and tools that, you know, we would use and have little profiles and message people. But we also had the understanding that, you know, there was that on the internet and there was that online, but there was also like people in person, and we would still, you know, we would still text message. Nowadays, I feel that primarily the way youth interact with each other and build relationships with each other is almost around social media. And it's almost weird for high schoolers to comprehend the fact that can you really know someone if you don't know, if you haven't seen the profile, right? And that's, for me, and for a lot of the older generations, is like, sure, I'll just talk to them. I don't need to see their profile. Whereas for the younger generations, I almost feel like looking at each other's profiles is one of the first things you would see. Yeah, so a lot of you take for granted that like social interactions in real life is what you want to be doing. Like the social media is a poor, very poor interaction, very poor substitute. It allows for a lot of it makes it a lot easier to have all of these negative ideas like envy and like social comparison, because with people. They a lot of students understand this intellectually and rationally, but like emotionally, you see someone's profile and your first thought is like, oh, this person is, that's how it is, versus like people are, showing their best selves or the best version of themselves they want to show on social media. And, that's not necessarily how it actually is in real life, or, people can build relationships in the real world and actual friendships versus, seeking validation on social media, which is very, very different. And there has been a growing trend of students or youth experiencing the world from a screen rather than from, real life. And what social media is, it's a very poor substitute for face-to-face communication. And it's a very poor substitute for building relationships in the real world. And like I mentioned before, the lockdown has not helped. Being able to build relationships, I think, is huge, as well as having a community